Okay, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this morning's meeting of the Transit Commission. Just to take a moment to explain why we are meeting today, it's because the commission last met almost a month ago, and because no regular meeting has been scheduled until February of 2020, I called for a special meeting for today so that the general manager could give us the latest update on the LRT Confederation Line and the bus service since we last met. As you may remember, at the Transit Commission's last meeting on November 20th, we received a similar update from Mr. Manconi, although I'm happy to tell you today's will be shorter. At that time, the Commission also approved a motion to add these updates to all regular Transit Commission meetings until such time as they're no longer required, without needing to waive the rules of procedure to add them to the agenda. Today, we will receive the presentation from Mr. Manconi, followed by public delegations, and members can then ask questions of the delegations, and following this, we will have questions of staff. I would remind members that because this was called as a special meeting, this will be the only matter for the Commission's consideration at today's meeting. If members have any notices of motion or inquiries, they may introduce them at the end of the meeting prior to adjournment. So to begin, are there any declarations of interest on the Commission? Seeing none, we will proceed with the update. Mr. Manconi, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members of Transit Commission. So today's agenda is the same as the previous update we gave you. However, in addition, what we have brought forward for you is various other topics, five other areas. We're going to be giving you some information relating to bus service reliability, because I know there's questions out there. I also want to bring forward information on bus cancellation process and the two audits that were done by the Auditor General. We're happy to explain what happened on those two Saturdays in terms of some of the tweets that didn't get out. I also obviously want to talk about scheduling. There's been a lot of discussion in the media, and I've seen the tweets and the comments about scheduling and how it's done and what we can and can't do. I also want to talk about the upcoming bus service changes, where we have invested reliability and recovery time, which has been a topic of discussion in the last 7 days. And I also want to get some of the misinformation that's out there on when we knew about Parliament and what we knew and didn't know and all those things. And of course, we will stay here all day if you like to answer any and all questions and get clarity on any information that's out there that you need from us. So in terms of rail service, I'm very pleased to advise that rail service is improving significantly with fewer disruptions, providing much more reliable service for our customers. I'm sure you've seen and experienced that or felt that in terms of what's going out there. We're continuing to work on those four rail-specific areas, the train control monitoring system. You're going to hear from Troy that we had zero occurrences of that, so the containment software is working well. We're continuing to look at the VOBC issues, the vehicle onboard controller, door operations. We've got lots of information for you, and you're going to get you're going to hear in the presentation. You're all getting extensive material that we need your help in pushing out and getting out to our customers, because we're still having customer doors being held. And then an update on track switches, of course. There have been improvements across all of these areas. So, again, I always give RTG and RTM credit where credit is due. They are focused on it. I also want to thank this management team and all the thousands of employees at OC Transpo on all sides of the operation, because we are intensely monitoring everything that's going on out there. And you'll hear in my wrap-up that the detailed deep-dive operational review has commenced with RTG. So improvements across the board. And this graph, this is the same graph that you saw in the last update. These are indicators. If you look at last week's performance, what that graph, the data will tell you is we ran 99.5% performance on the rail service. So downward is better. This is the percentage of kilometers missed. A reminder, when we had that big 6% spike, that was the track weld issue. So you're seeing a downward trend. Will we have week after week of 99.5? I'll tell you that right now, probably not. That is an amazing performance week. But we look for trends, and we share this data every single day regularly with RTG and RTM. They have their data, and we make sure that we know what's going on out there. And these are all byproducts of addressing those issues, as you're going to hear from Mr. Charter, but also our amazing staff that are operating the trains, doing some amazing work on things like door isolation and other operations to ensure that we can get the highest dependable service for our customers. I'm now going to turn it over to Mr. Charter. He'll then pass it on to Mr. Scrimger, and then I'll close off with a couple slides.
Thank you, John. As reported at the last Transit Commission, there are four primary issues that are impacting service reliability for customers on Line 1. The first being the train control monitoring system, which we also refer to, if you recall, the brains of the train. The number of occurrences and the associated impact on service and the impact on service and our customers continues to trend downwards. During the weekend of December 6th to 8th, a new version of the TCMS software was updated across the entire fleet. This version continues to provide a containment strategy, meaning that should the issue occur while the train is in service, staff have the ability to quickly reset the train and keep that vehicle in service. It also continues to capture data that is needed to assist in the identification of the root cause. In addition, though, what was added, this new version of the software, was updated to optimize the communication between the two TCMSs on the train. There's always an active and a passive TCMS on the train, and it has simplified communications between all the network components. If you recall, the TCMS controls the passenger information system, the speed control, the braking. It controls all those functions, so they simplified communications, which has resulted in what we're seeing right now is a reduction in the number of these occurrences on the line. It is, however, important to note that since the root cause is still yet to be determined, the dedicated team of experts continues to work on resolving the issues. In this graph, you can see that since the peak of the TCMS occurrences in mid-October, the number has continued to decline in recent weeks, and last week there were no reported TCMS occurrences while in service. Therefore, there was no impact to our customers. As I mentioned, as the root cause is still to be identified, the software revision, though, combined with our containment plans and actions, are mitigating this issue. Again, and as previously reported, the work on the VOBC, or Vehicle Onboard Controller, is being done in parallel with that of the TCMS. Overall, the number of VOBC occurrences has stabilized, and there's only been one recent VOBC issue that occurred midday on December 13th, which resulted in a short delay for customers. In this graph, you can see that the number of VOBC occurrences peaked towards the end of October. There were two consecutive weeks without any VOBC issues, but as I stated last week, there was one occurrence last week. Work continues on this issue. With respect to train doors, there are still issues occurring. However, in most cases, frontline staff, such as our operators and supervisors, are able to isolate a door, which means take that door out of service, but keeps the train in service, with minimal delays for our customers. There is a specialized team that is working on engineering solutions that will ultimately improve performance by adjusting door settings while maintaining all the safety features associated with the door operation. In the meantime, staff in our control center continue to monitor station platforms and adjust dwell times as needed. As a number of door occurrences continue to be a result of customers holding doors, I'd like to take the opportunity to remind everyone to not hold doors. It is unsafe and can create delays for all customers. We will also be sending, as John mentioned, a communication package on door operations to Council and members of the Transit Commission following this meeting. As you can see in this graph, the number of door-related delays has fluctuated from week to week. However, recently we have started to observe a positive trend. Prior to December 2nd, the majority of door-related incidents caused a delay of greater than 5 minutes was very common. With the technical adjustments to the door mechanisms, staff now have a greater ability to respond and rectify a door issue and minimize the service impact. As such, effective the week of December 2nd, we are now tracking both the number of door occurrences as well as the impact that issue has had on our service. Looking at the week of December 2nd, there were two door-related issues that created delays greater than 5 minutes for our customers. The week of December 9th, while there was an increase in the total number of occurrences of 5, there was only one incident that resulted in delay greater than 5 minutes. And as I previously mentioned, the specialized team continues to work on a permanent engineering solution to reduce the number of door issues, the number of door occurrences on the line. With respect to track switches, on December 5th, a non-communicating switch at Blair Station impacted operations just after the morning peak period. R1 replacement bus service was put in place between St. Laurent and Blair stations for approximately 40 minutes, while rail service on Line 1 continued from Tunney's Pasture to St. Laurent Station with minimal delays. Track switches allow for the safe movement of trains from one track to another. The control center must be able to communicate with all switches to ensure that they're properly aligned for safe train movements. If a switch is non-communicating or not properly aligned, the CBTC system will not allow trains to continue over the switch until it is attended to and rectified by a guideway technician. As track switches are a critical component of the railway, RTG and RTM have dedicated guideway technicians that are stationed at the terminus stations, both Blair and Tunney's Pasture, during peak periods. As well, during inclement weather events, RTG deploys additional resources to monitor and tend both to the switches and the switch heaters. Overall, the number of switch occurrences are trending in the right direction, with the peak being in mid-November. We've had several weeks with no switch issues, with the one recent occurrence on December 5th. RTG and RTM continue to dedicate specialized technicians to monitor the switches, and they make sure that they're deployed for a timely response should an issue arise. Now turning over to bus service, OC Transport delivers approximately 8,600 trips on a weekday, over 5,000 trips on a Saturday, and close to 4,000 trips on a Sunday. Overall, approximately 98.5% of service is being delivered. To put things in perspective, 1% of service during the week, 1% of canceled service during the week represents approximately 85 trips. On a Saturday, that's 50 trips, and on Sunday, that's 39 trips. Canceling a trip is always a last resort. There are a variety of reasons that can lead to a trip not being delivered as scheduled. These things include increased traffic congestion, construction detours, collisions, onboard emergencies, staff resourcing, and most commonly during the winter, inclement weather and road conditions. Our Transit Operations Control Center, the TOCC, works right up to the last minute to fill every trip. Staff work to replace or reallocate bus operators and buses to fill trips that are at risk of not being delivered. The TOCC staff deploy standby resources that are required to prevent or mitigate gaps in service when problems arise. The goal is always to minimize any impact for our customers. We understand that even one missed trip can be felt, and we endeavor to cover all trips. Since the launch of Line 1, we have seen an improvement in our weekday service reliability, which you'll see in the next slide. Our focus now is to continue to address the performance gaps in our service on both weekdays and weekends. I appreciate there's a lot to look at this slide, so I'll walk you through it sort of step by step. So what you're looking at here is the bus reliability both weekday, which is the blue line, and weekends, the orange line, charted over time, dating back to prior to the implementation of the LRT construction-related detours. So time being on the horizontal axis and percentage of canceled service being on the vertical axis. So working from left to right, at the start of the graph in the spring of 2015, canceled trips is averaging approximately 0.5% to 1%. Over the next year, 5 construction-related detours commence, closing portions of the transitway permanently to make way for the building of the LRT. Those are those dotted lines that you see going up vertically. Each one of those represents one of the transitway closures for the construction phase. It is at this point, other than the seasonal increases in trip cancellations due to winter weather and traffic, those are denoted by the snowflakes, that we start to see a decrease in bus reliability. As we continue along the graph, going from left to right, over time, the service starts to experience an increase in trip cancellations with greater impact on weekdays than weekends. Then, in May of 2018, the service experiences a steady decrease in bus reliability leading up to the launch of LRT in September of 2019. What we're seeing there is you know, the service and our customers are experiencing the full impact of all the detours, as well as other construction activities that's going on throughout the city, as well as a late revenue service availability date, a missed revenue service availability date. Following the launch of the LRT and the implementation of the post-LRT bus network, service reliability significantly improved on weekdays. However, while there was an improvement on weekends, it was not as pronounced as weekdays. We actually see that the bus reliability falls down to, it's almost back to the 2015 levels, what we were experiencing before, which is around that 1% mark. As just in closing, as you'll hear later in the presentation, there are several actions that are being taken to improve the bus service for our customers on both weekdays and weekends. I'll now turn things over to my colleague, Pat Scrimger. Thank you.
Thanks, Troy. I'll start by talking about the audits that were done by the Auditor General that John mentioned earlier. There were two of these. In 2011, an audit of the way that OC Transport communicates canceled bus trips to customers, and in 2015, an audit of how those cancellations are planned. The major findings from the audits were that the procedures that OC Transport are following are common and considered acceptable in the transit industry for systems of this size, and a recommendation that we implement upgrades to our systems to automate and improve timeliness of notifications. We have automated the information feed from the control system, the control and dispatch system, to the real-time information sources that we provide to customers. The iPhone app, the data feeds that are used by the independent apps, the screens that are in the stations, and the 560-1000 next trip IVR system. What is still manual, though, is the customized handwritten alerts that are sent out to subscribers and to Twitter followers. The Transit Operations Control Center, in their dispatch and control system, maintains a list of all of the scheduled service for the day. And when they receive any information that a trip may be missed for any of the reasons that Troy mentioned earlier, they start immediately to look at all options to cover that service. We have extra buses and operators placed all over the city, ready to respond if there's a problem in that area. Sometimes we can ask people to work a little longer. Sometimes we can combine on a very frequent route two trips into one. But canceling a trip is always the very last option after all other ways of covering the service or adjusting the service are exhausted. And as we've mentioned before, and as many people see, the control center works hard to fill trips up to the very last minute. Our goal when providing notifications to customers, these are the handwritten notifications, is to push out notifications through all of those channels, subscribers, the web page, and Twitter. Provide notifications that will provide customers the most timely and accurate information that will help them to plan their trip. But when there's a contention between more than one notification or a group of notifications that need to be sent at the same time, priority is set to the ones that would have the greatest impact on customers, such as an elevator being unavailable, routes that are less frequent, school trips, and more recently, we have added O-Train Line 1 to that list. There are some cases when cancellations are not posted individually. There might be that staff are working up to the very last minute, and then there is no time to post a timely notification before that trip leaves. That would be more common on a more frequent route. Or the next trip is going to come very soon and will accommodate the customers. But I want to remind you that the notifications, that the absence of a trip, a canceled or missed trip, is always reflected directly, once it's in the control system, directly onto the real-time information sources available to customers. So while there may not be a text message sent or an email sent or a line on the web page or a post to Twitter, those cancellations are reflected through the automated real-time systems, the iPhone app, the screens that are at stations, the open data feed, and 560-1000. And so for that reason, we always recommend those systems as the customer's best source of information on when their next bus is coming. We recognize that canceled trips have an impact on our customers, of course, and we understand how frustrating it is, and that's why we work very hard to both fill every trip and to let everyone know, if we can, the details of what has happened. As Troy mentioned earlier, we're working diligently to minimize the cancellations and to increase our ability to do those communications out on alerts or tweets. As council approved in the 2020 budget, there's additional staff resources that will be available in 2020 to give us more capacity in the customer service center, which will support live information going to customers, including the notification and alert channels. We're recruiting and hiring more bus operators in 2020 to provide the increased reliability of service that Troy's been talking about, but also the increased quantity of service that council has approved in the 2020 budget. And the control center continues to monitor, respond, and react and feed information directly to their colleagues in the customer service center. I want to talk next about an update on the standby buses that we have available to run as R1 replacement bus service if there's a problem on line one. We started those on December 2nd as 20 buses, which were initially all assigned to standby at the baseball stadium. After a couple of weeks of experience with those, and very little use of them because of quite good reliability of the train service during those weeks, we've modified our plans a little bit, and we've now spread those buses across the city so that they're more able to react quickly in the right direction for a problem that occurs in a particular area. And, of course, the buses would all move, but this just gives us buses closer to where an interruption in service might occur. So in the morning, we now have buses standing by on Bayview Station Road, on the transitway at Westboro Station, just west of Westboro Station, at Herdman Station, still some at the baseball stadium, and also some at Blair Station. And in the afternoon, we have them at Bayview Station Road, the baseball stadium, Herdman Station, and Saint-Laurent Station. These are set up so that they're ready to provide inbound service first in the morning and service away from downtown first in the afternoon. Our staff are also working on protocols to allow the buses that are standing by to be shut down to minimize idling when the temperatures permit. Now I'd like to talk a bit about the upcoming bus schedule changes and service changes. These all begin on Sunday, January 5th or Monday, January 6th. And we have a memo coming out quite soon from the general manager with all of these changes listed, but individual councillors got an email late last week with the specific changes in their wards. These include all of the additional buses that were deployed in November, the beginning of the rollout of the new buses and the new funding that was approved in the 2020 budget. They're concentrating primarily on service reliability and service capacity, guided by the priorities that were identified by councillors in our discussions with you, and also backed up by data and by information we've received and you've received from customers. There's $7.5 million of new funding for service approved in the 2020 budget, and through this package, some of the increase has been for capacity increases, but there's also been $1.7 million spent in this package on more running time along routes that were taking longer than scheduled to complete the trip, and more recovery time at terminals to allow trips that are late coming in to not be late going out on the next trip. This is just the first of four of our quarterly service changes for 2020. So as we identify and as we discuss with councillors and customers, other issues that arise, we will be working on them and implementing those as soon as we can within the funding that's been made available. Troy mentioned earlier our customer communications about train doors, and that we're sending a communication package, a copy of all the information that's out there for customers, to members of council and the Transit Commission today. The communication campaign continues. The key message is, and has been for years, on line two and now on line one, everyone is held up if the doors are held open. Those posters have been up at stations since the line opened. We've increased the number of, we've increased the visibility of that by some things I'll show you in the next few pages, more impressions of that on the internet, more outreach by our O-Train ambassadors in the red vests to remind people when they're on the platforms. And we're working on new communications that I'll show you over the next few pages. So first is on the left, the poster that is in every station or in most stations and on every train, inside the train, that reminds people that everyone is held up if the doors are held open, that holding the doors open is unsafe and can lead to delays in service. We added to that in October the hanger, the cardboard hanger that we put all over trains for a few days. That was on the right to deliver that message more directly to people. We're working on new, larger warning stickers on the inside and outside of train doors. Right now, there's a small sticker that's been in there since the train opened. We're replacing it with a larger one with a very clear messaging: do not hold the doors. It is unsafe and causes delays. And sorry, I thought there was another picture. I'm sorry. The picture there showed on the. Can we just go back one? On the left, what those stickers will look like on the inside of the train, and on the right, what those stickers will look like when seen from the outside of the train. Sorry about that. There's other ongoing improvements that are making. The straps that hang from the horizontal bars on the train have been installed in about a third of the fleet, and the remaining trains will have those straps installed by the end of January. RTG is working to get those delivered and installed as quickly as they can. The canopy at Tunney's Pasture Station is expected to be complete this week. That's over the expanded walkway that was built earlier, and the decorative screens along the side are being installed right now and are expected to be complete by the end of the month. The expanded bypass lane at Herdman Station is built, and the canopy is complete there too, and the similar decorative screens will be installed there by the end of December as well. At Blair Station, the shelters at Stop D had the we removed the glass on the doors from the front of those shelters to better accommodate the observed ways that customers were using the space and how they were moving around and in many cases not moving into those shelters. This allows a lot more room for people to move around, but also provides shelter from rain, snow, and wind at times when people want to tuck in underneath the roof of the shelter. And we'll continue to watch how people use these enclosed waiting areas. We've installed platform markings to remind people to stand back from the doors. Don't crowd the door. Let people off the train first. Stand back and wait for the doors to open and for everyone to get off before you move on. Those are installed at six stations now, and we're continuing to install them, but it's very dependent on the weather. The surface needs to be at a certain temperature, and the surface needs to be dry. And so we work hard to use all the equipment available to get it to that state, but it's taking some time to get these installed. Nevertheless, they're in at the all the underground, the downtown underground stations where this problem was being seen the most. Other improvements that are ongoing: the anti-slip coating has been installed by RTG on the stairs at Parliament, Lyon, and Rideau stations, and RTG is continuing a system-wide review and applying that coating as necessary. We're continuing to follow the odor at Parliament Station. That odor was reported by customers right away in September after the line opened. City and RTG investigated many possible root causes and thought at that time that it was leaking liquid that was leaking into an escalator pit and a broken sump pump. In October, RTG repaired that leak and the sump pump and applied some deodorizer to help resolve the smell and also to resolve the smell from the grouting that had been used to fill the leak. But the smell has continued from time to time. In parallel, in August, through a routine inspection, the city had discovered a sewer line some distance away from the station, 100 meters away, closer to Bank Street, had been punctured by a rock bolt that was part of the construction of the tunnel. These bolts were drilled through the rock to stabilize the rock in 2015, and the tip of that had penetrated into the sanitary sewer pipe sometime in 2015. There's no record of anyone having noticed those smells, the smells that we are unfortunately familiar with now, during the construction period when Parliament Station was being built and being fitted up. Nevertheless, RTG, of course, is engaged to develop a plan to rectify that that damage. So in November, as you know, the foul odor continued to be reported, but the smell seemed to be dissipating over time. And even though the sewer line still has that puncture in it. The repair of the punctured sewer line did start once traffic plans and noise exemptions were received, and that's being done largely overnight. That work started in November and was completed on December 13th, and we continue to monitor the smell at this location. I'd now like to hand you back to John Manconi.
Thank you, Pat, Troy. And in closing, Mr. Chair, the detailed operational review that we talked about at FEDCO has been initiated. So that's in addition to the oversight that we had. So we've moved forward on that. Any issues that come out through that review, we bring it to RTG, and they have to ensure that they're meeting the obligations under the project agreement. And then lastly, I just want to close off that I know there's been, and I anticipate there's lots of questions on buses and bus service and service planning and scheduling and all those things. Just a reminder, the Auditor General is doing an audit that you've approved, and we welcome that audit. And we work very, very well with the Auditor General. And as you know, he has unfettered access to go anywhere into the department. And I can tell you that Mr. Scrimger, this whole management team, welcomes that audit and will certainly bring forward any improvements or issues that we need to work on. And not sure when that audit commences, but that will certainly help us all in terms of concerns or areas of discussion in this space. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Happy to take any questions.